Hello listeners, welcome to Business Line Podcast. This is your host, Anjana. Recently, the 16-member Committee on Digital Competition Law was asked to review whether the existing provision in the Competition Act 2002 and the rules and regulations framed under it are sufficient to deal with the challenges that have emerged from the digital economy. The panel also recommended ex-ante measures to complement the current ex-post framework. So, what exactly is this bill? How will it impact the big tech giants? To discuss all about it, we have with us K.R. Srivats, Associate Editor, Business Line. What was actually the remit of the Committee on Digital Competition Law formed last year?
That's an excellent question. Basically, the central government had appointed a 16-member committee in February last year. And that committee was called as the Committee on Digital Competition Law. Now, the before I go into the terms of reference of this panel, I would like to briefly talk about the digital competition law and what is it all about. So the context here is India has been having a very robust competition law since which was enacted in the year 2002, and over the last few decades there is an evolved jurisprudence on regulation of anti-competitive behavior at the marketplace.
Okay.
So we had something called a competition law which addressed issues of anti-competitiveness, cartelization, and other aspects relating to traditional markets. And there were no specific legal framework which would address the issues of digital markets.
Right.
Over a period of last two decades, as the Indian economy grew, our digital markets have also grown phenomenally.
Okay.
Now, competition issues and anti-competition issues are getting thrown up, because the players in this market have assumed a very dominant role. And there are others who feel the pinch of misconduct by the dominant player.
Okay.
So to address their issues, the only forum that was earlier available legally was the Competition Commission and the Competition Act.
Okay.
So now the government felt that we need to look at this in entirety, and therefore the first step actually came from the Standing Committee on Finance, which had in December 2022, the Standing Committee on Finance headed by Mr. Jayant Sinha had recommended that the government enact a law on what is called as digital competition law to rein in on the anti-competitive behavior of the big tech.
Okay.
Now, the government thought it fit, instead of directly going about enacting a law, the government went about setting up a committee which was tasked to do several things. Now I will list out the six terms of reference that was handed out to the committee, which is what your question was. What was the remit of the committee?
Right.
The
right.
remit of the committee was very simple. It was tasked to review whether existing provisions of the competition law and the rules and regulations framed under it, are they sufficient to deal with the challenges that have emerged from the digital economy. So the first terms of reference is you go back and see whether the current law is sufficient and good enough to deal with the challenges of the digital economy. Then
Okay.
the panel, as the second part, was asked to examine whether there is a need for an ex-ante regulatory framework for digital markets through a separate legislation. Now, I will delve deep into ex-ante framework a bit later.
Okay.
But you can take it that this was one of the primary terms of reference that the committee was tasked to look at, that whether India needs an ex-ante approach to address the challenges of digital markets, and whether India requires a separate law besides the Competition Act to do it, or can we just add a chapter in the existing act and say this is the framework for the digital markets. So this was one area which the panel had to look at. Then the panel was also, I'm loosely calling it as the digital panel. The digital panel was also asked to study the international best practices on regulation in the field of digital markets. So the government wanted this panel to analyze and find out what are the best international practices when it comes to regulating the players in the digital markets.
Okay.
So the other points or the terms of reference included, the panel should go and study other regulatory regimes, the institutional mechanisms, policies followed by other countries regarding competition in the digital markets. Then the panel was also asked to study the practices of leading players and what is called as systemically important digital intermediaries, which have the potential to cause harm in the digital markets, and all other aspects concerning competition in digital market, this committee was tasked to look at.
Okay.
Now, you may ask, what is systemically important digital intermediary is? Now, India is trying to follow other developed world, which has gone ahead and enacted laws to address behavior of players in digital markets. Like, for example, the EU has got a robust legislation in the form of EU Digital Markets Act. They call it the EU DMA. Then UK is in the process of having its own legislation focused on digital markets.
Okay.
And US is also trying to do several pieces of laws, because the US markets are much bigger than the Indian market, and therefore they are also looking to have a robust framework on overseeing the digital markets in their jurisdiction.
Right.
So in that direction, the government thought that the Committee on Digital Competition Law should be tasked to look at these aspects and come up with a report. They didn't stop with that. They also wanted the committee to recommend a draft bill that can be taken forward by the government in the days to come.
Okay. Okay. Cool, sir. So the next question on this would be, what exactly, or what are the basis for categorizing an enterprise as a SSD, systemically significant digital enterprises, as per this bill?
Okay, so before that, I would like to delve on what is an ex-ante framework and what is an ex-post framework.
Cool.
Okay, the point that I was trying to tell you in the previous question was that one of the key recommendations of the latest report is that there are two main recommendations. This Committee on Digital Competition Law, as in the latest report, which is now submitted to the finance minister, has said that India needs an ex-ante regulatory framework, right? That is one key recommendation. And the other limb of that recommendation is India needs a separate digital competition law.
Correct, correct.
Okay. So now having understood that, we will look at what is an ex-ante framework. An ex-ante framework varies from the current process or the mechanism that the existing Competition Act follows in addressing market misconduct, which is called an ex-post mechanism or a ex-post framework. Now, this ex-post framework was aimed at or is aimed at bringing fairness in the traditional markets.
Okay.
And this was envisaged when nobody anticipated the scale of digitalization which has happened all around us. Right? So, under an ex-post framework, the CCI will intervene only after the occurrence of an anti-competitive conduct.
Okay.
So, now, that is the problem with that approach is that it often took a lot of time to enforce and go through the legal process to say that somebody infringed the law and then bring him to book for that behavior.
Okay.
Now, you and I know that digital markets are very fast, right? They won't have that. They are very dynamic in nature. And therefore, it requires very timely interventions. Nobody can afford to have a long period of time before some justice is done for any market misconduct.
Okay.
Because by then, innovations change, markets change, and therefore, it doesn't make sense to adjudicate on something with whose technology is no longer relevant, right? So, if going by the pace of technology and the innovation that we see in the marketplace, no new software lasts beyond a particular span of time, right? So, digital markets are dynamic, and therefore, we need a regulatory mechanism which is swift and which is going to correct any market misconduct by looking at the regulatory process in a very efficient way. Whereas the ex-post mechanism that we have is seen to be time-consuming.
Right.
Developed world wanted to introduce or have introduced or looking to introduce a mechanism called ex-ante. That means do something before the actual conduct has happened.
Right.
So they are going to put in law a set of events, practices, which will be forbidden.
Okay.
And therefore, digital players will be barred from resorting to such practices at the marketplace. So that is the ex-ante approach to digital competition law.
Sure.
So government, this committee says, India should now go in from an ex-post mechanism to an ex-ante mechanism when it comes to regulating the digital markets. That is the nub of their recommendation. And this should be done by a separate law. Now to your question on SDSE, before that, the question that arises is, will this ex-ante be applicable to all players and all service providers in the digital market? The answer to this is a no.
Oh, okay.
The panel is saying that you apply this ex-ante only to large digital enterprises that have a significant presence in India in specified or selected core digital services. Now, only those enterprises which are identified to conform to these points are going to be categorized as systemically significant digital enterprises, what we call as SSDEs. So now the report has recommended a sort of thresholds, both quantitative as well as qualitative. And SSDEs falling under these thresholds will be categorized as a systemically significant digital enterprises.
Okay.
And the proposed framework wants enterprises by themselves to benchmark themselves against these criteria and then come forward to the government and say that I qualify to be a SSDE and therefore I should be regulated under the digital competition law.
Okay.
So now to your question on what are the thresholds that will determine an SSDE?
Right.
Now, several thresholds are there to decide when an enterprise can be deemed to be an SSDE. Now, two tests, main tests have been given for this. One is called the significant financial strength test. And the other is a significant spread test.
Okay.
So in the quantitative criteria, you will be judged on two tests, whether you meet the significant financial strength test and the significant spread test.
Okay.
For somebody to be an SSDE, he has to be part of both. That is, he should qualify in the significant financial strength test and also under the significant spread test.
Okay.
Now, what is a significant financial strength? According to the proposal in the bill, if an enterprise has got a turnover of 4,000 crores in India, or a global turnover of the corporation or the entity is at least $30 billion. Or if the gross merchandise value of its, say, of its website or its platform is more than 16,000 crores. Or if the global market capitalization or the fair market value of that entity is over $75 billion, then you will be seen to be an entity which has passed the first limb of the test, which is the significant financial strength.
Okay.
Now, the other limb is the core digital service that you this SSDE provides, if it has more than 1 crore users in India, or at least 10,000 business users in each of the three preceding financial years, you would be deemed to have passed the second test, which is the significant spread test.
Okay.
So, for an entity to be categorized as SSDE, you should qualify to be part of one of the four financial criteria I told you in terms of domestic turnover, global turnover, market cap, and gross merchandise value. And also conform to the requirement that you should have 1 crore Indian, at least 1 crore Indian end users and at least 10,000 business users in India. in each of the three preceding financial years.
Mm.
Now, if one were to benchmark what is happening on the ground, I can assure you there will be only a handful of big tech players who will qualify to this criteria if this becomes law, right?
Mm.
Essentially, this is an exercise to oversee the functioning of only the really large big tech players and leave out the smaller ones and the mid-sized ones, which the government feels is not big enough to be brought under the digital competition law.
Okay.
I hope I have been clear on this.
Yes, yes, that's a lot of clarity out there. But
yeah.
Sir, one thing we have all noticed is some of the global MNCs, which are basically big tech companies, are opposing these proposed ex-ante regulations. Why is that?
Well, there are several reasons why they are opposing it. One, it is going to lead to their sort of forcibly being required to change their business models. And the second issue why they are opposed to it is it will hurt their revenues. It will open them to the possibility of getting penalized for anti-competitive conduct. And the last point is nobody likes competition.
Okay.
And if you closely watch the big techs, most of them who are opposing this are almost near monopolies, right? When you are big and when you are a monopoly,
okay,
you don't want anybody to disturb your kingdom.
Okay.
You don't want anybody to come in and require you to change business models.
Correct, correct.
And you don't want somebody to come and discipline you to say that I'm going to penalize you for your misconduct. So that is where the pain is, that they are opposed to it for the following reasons.
Sir, I have a question on that, sir. So how do you think it is exactly going to change their business model?
Well, for example, I'll give you a very crude example.
Correct,
right?
Correct.
Just an example. Today, Google has got a Play Store.
Right.
And all your apps are getting downloaded through the Play Store.
Correct.
And Google enjoys 97% market share in the Android ecosystem.
Yes.
Do you agree with it?
Yes, yes.
So willy-nilly, the startup, yeah, so willy-nilly, any app developer in India would want their app to be hosted on the, to be available on the Play Store, right?
Correct, correct.
Because that will give me phenomenal distribution throughout India with 80 crore smartphone users. All of them can be my potential customers. And therefore, every app developer wants to be in Play Store.
Correct.
Now, Google turns around and says, you can be in my Play Store and somebody can download you, but I will not allow any third-party Play Store to be along with my Play Store in the smartphone.
Okay.
And because you are using the Play Store system, you will have to pay me 30% because anybody who is in my Play Store should use my billing system for in-app purchases and for app downloads.
Correct. Okay.
And I am going to charge you 30% of your revenues for every app download or for every in-app purchases if your revenues are more than $1 million a year. So this was seen, or it has been proven to be an anti-competitive conduct. That is, I am using my monopoly status to restrict the app developer not to use third-party applications. And the app developer will turn around and say, if I use a third-party application, I'm charged only 4%.
Correct.
Why should I pay 30% to you? For which Google has got its own reasons. One, as I told you, it is allowing you, after the CCI intervention in October 2022, it is allowing third-party billing applications to be used by the app developer, but along with the condition that you have to pay a service fee of 26%.
Correct.
So the app developers are still not happy, because at the end of the day, whatever you call it, my cost has not come down. So that is where this point, that till the CCI intervened to say that, hey, big tech, what you are doing may not be right. There was no remedy for the app developers, right?
Correct.
So this is the what example of a misconduct at the marketplace.
Okay. Got that, sir.
So it is now, if this law gets passed, then the law says you cannot restrict third-party applications. Or you cannot say no to third-party billing, which anyway CCI has put it in as a order, but now they will bring it in law that it is the law of the land that third-party applications cannot be restricted.
Okay. Okay.
So that is why they fear a legally induced business model change. And therefore, they are stoutly opposing it. That's just one reason. They are opposing it for several reasons. I'm just giving you one example. But if you look at it, almost all the big tech like Amazon, Apple, Google, Uber, Meta, even Flipkart, all of them are not in favor of a ex-ante approach to regulations. Some of them, like the e-commerce guys, right? They feel that this kind of approach is excessive, because they think it is over-regulation. Why should the government get into my area? And why? And I also see a risk of increased compliance cost.
Okay, okay.
And some have gone to the extent of saying that even in the developed world, this ex-ante approach remains largely untested.
Okay.
Right? It's all a new phenomena, right?
Right, correct.
The developed world's approach to regulating big tech is a recent phenomena. So, that is the point that, you know, the basic point is these big tech guys are saying we should only look at a light touch framework and not go in for a rule-based ex-ante approach, which is going to be a very stricter enforcement, right?
Correct.
Yeah, so that is what they want. They want a light-touch regulatory framework and not a very strict framework. Because they say that if you have a rule-based strict framework, it will hurt innovation.
Correct.
Many techies will not find it profitable or may not be encouraged to innovate if you keep reading the rule book again and again to them, right? Yeah. So that is the sum and substance of their opposition.
Okay.
One parting thought that this is not the end of the road. All the stakeholders have been given time till April 15th to send in their views around it.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir. It was a pleasure to have you with us. I'm sure our listeners would have definitely benefited out of this conversation. We'll be back with yet another episode of Business Line Podcast. Till then, this is your host, Anjana, signing off.